Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I here am Dori Shafrir.
Wow, what a gentle, gentle introduction. I'm Kate Spencer.
Yes, you are. We're not experts.
Nope. Just two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking about some serum adjacent things today.
Oh, we're going to get right into serums-ish.
Serums-ish.
I will say I didn't purchase any serums.
Well, that's why I said serums adjacent.
Serums adjacent.
Yeah.
Sir Jason.
Mm-hmm. How's it going?
I mean, I'm ready to dive into serums.
Okay. We should tell everyone what we're going to dive into.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yes. We made some purchases at Ye Olde Sephora sale.
Yep.
And also, I'm pleased to make the first ever I bought expensive skin cream announcement here on Forever 35.
We're ready for it. Do.
I bought expensive skin cream. Agustinus Botter.
Uh-huh.
The rich cream.
Uh-huh. For those of us who are not familiar with this cream, I know you touched on it in a prior episode, but let's give everyone a recap.
Here's the backstory. I've seen write-ups about this cream, you know, on your usual spots around the internet.
And it's a new cream, right? It's been around for like a year and a half?
Yes. Okay. And I also think it first also kind of came to my attention because Eva Chen mentioned it.
Uh-huh.
When we interviewed her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, huh, okay. My ears perked up a bit. Then a few people in my life revealed that they have been using it and have felt it to be life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I was like, oh, okay, a life-changing. You know how it is. Your ears start mm-hmm. getting warm.
Mm-hmm. And then you start to feel like you're seeing it everywhere.
Yes. And then you Google it and you read like 8 yeah. million, mm-hmm. you know, fashion website articles about it. I've done this with products before. Then you go and look to buy it, and then you see what it costs, and you're like,
I feel like you had a similar experience with Vintner's Daughter.
Which I use and like.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're fancy. Maybe I'm just fancy.
I mean,
maybe I'm the posh spice of this band that we're in.
What am I? The scary spice?
I mean, that's possible in some instances.
No.
Who would you be? Ginger?
Baby?
No. Baby.
Which Spice Girl are you?
Which Spice Girl?
Take
that old
quiz
from 1997. So look, I said to you, hey, Dori, what if I tried this cream for the sake of the pod? Because the way the cream works, it's created by a German professor.
Mm-hmm. I mean, love the backstory.
So the story of the cream, you're of course like, oh, a German professor created a cream for people dealing with burn wounds,
mm-hmm.
which again, that's the origin story. So yes. It's intriguing. So I said, hey, what if I bought this for the podcast? For the pod as research.
For the listeners.
Yeah, not for me.
No.
Not because I want to try an expensive product. But the
listeners, Kate is doing this for you.
The sacrifice I am making. So look.
And I said, go ahead.
But with a caveat.
But I'm going to put a caveat on this, which is you must take a photo of yourself every day that you're using the cream, because you're supposed to use the cream and only the cream for 27 days.
This is true. And I cleaned out all my products last night. It was actually kind of nice. I just had face wash and this cream and like my sunscreen and contact solution in my cabinet. Like, what a relief.
This is exciting. Wait, so have you started?
I started it last night.
I haven't seen a fixture.
Well, okay, I took one pre-putting it on, and then I haven't done my, like, round today.
Okay.
So don't worry.
All right.
Coach. But I will say, Dory, I did post a picture of myself in a Facebook group, one of our mom Facebook groups today, and a friend was like, your skin looks amazing. So, I don't know.
I mean,
do you want to look different to you? I'm glowing.
I don't want to be a skeptic about this.
No, you
I want to
be.
Believe in the power of the... How much is it, Kate?
Oh, Dory, it's too much. One bottle that... The bottle that I bought, which is supposed to last 27 days...
Sure.
...costs $165.
Wow. That's a spicy meatball.
Dory.
What?
Yeah, it's not something. Look, if we did not have a skincare podcast and some shared funds stashed away where we can like try products out.
We have a slush fund.
We have a slush fund for products. Like I would not buy this of my own accord, but it is a fun conversation topic on this skincare podcast.
What I was going to say is I feel like your skin has looked great like for a long time.
I'm feeling good.
So while I want to believe in the power of this cream, this is why I asked you to take a photo every day.
You want the proof.
Because I want the proof.
You're an investigative journalist.
Look, as one of my favorite contestants on the Australian reality show Instant Hotel like to say.
Oh my gosh, this went so far already.
The devil's in the details. Yep. He coined that phrase.
He made that up. Yeah. So I'm going to take a photo every day. And look, I don't think magic is going to happen.
But it might.
But have you ever tried a buzzed about product where you read like 50 articles? It's like, I know, the article's like, this changed my life and celebrities swear by it. And then you try it and it doesn't do anything. Like,
yes, but I've also had the experience where something does do something. Like when I tried Biologique Recherche P50.
Your sweet, sweet baby.
Which I've not used in quite some time because of pregnancy and childbirth
and
nursing.
Right?
Yeah. Even though it's probably fine and I'm being like super paranoid. But that I do think is like a pretty amazing product. But yes, I hear you. Because you know what you don't see when these celebrities are like, I tried this Augustinus Botter cream and look how amazing my skin is like, they also have like meals delivered to their house. They have a personal trainer. They like
facials every week.
They
lasers.
Yes.
Everywhere.
So it's just like, okay, yes, the cream is great. But like you also have so much else going on that is making your skin look amazing.
Yeah.
Probably getting, you know, fillers, Botox, like, which is fine, but like, don't just all say it's the cream. It's like when celebrities are like, I just do yoga and that's how I look like this.
Right.
And
right,
you're like,
right,
come on.
Right.
Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox.
Wow, you just stepped on there. I like it. You are spicy today.
I'm spicy.
You're spicy spice. So that was my big purchase, but then there was a Sephora sale very recently.
Yes, and we should tell people that I had been sort of off the new product train for quite some time.
Very off of it.
Yeah, I was just like, I like what I like. I don't have the time or the energy to start exploring new products. And then the Sephora sale just reeled me in, and I was like, you know what? I do have a self-care/skincare podcast. I might as well buy some stuff and check it out for the sake of the listeners.
That's right. You didn't do it for yourself.
No,
you did it just for this podcast.
For the listeners.
Yeah.
And then you bought some stuff too.
I squeaked in at the last
minute. You sure did.
But you know what happened? I squeaked in on the last day at like 11 p.m. and then I forgot to use the code for 15% off.
Oh my God.
Has that ever happened to you where you're like, I'm going to make this big purchase because of a code, and then you forget to use it?
Yeah.
I had a meltdown. So I emailed Sephora through their customer service link. And the next morning, I got the nicest reply from the person who was like, we can't add the from a customer sales rep who said, we can't add the code to your purchase because the purchase is already in the system. Done. So they added the equivalent of what 15% off would be to my purchase, 15% off of my purchase to my account.
That's awesome.
So now I just have this money sitting in my account that never expires that I can use. And I thought that was a very positive customer service experience.
Thank you, Sephoris.
Again, not a sponsor of this podcast.
No.
We're just fans.
Just fans.
So what did you buy in this rebellious purchase plunge that took?
Let me break it down for you. So I started with not one, but two bottles. What are they?
Jars?
No, not jars.
Jugs.
Containers. Pieces of Super Goop Unseen Sunscreen.
Bottles.
Yeah, but it comes in like a squeezy
thing. A tubey
thing. A tube.
That's the word you're looking for?
I was looking for a tube.
Not jug.
Thank you. No, not a jug. I really like the sunscreen. It goes on so smoothly. It is unseen. It blends in really nicely. I use it on my arms, and now I'm keeping a tube of it on my bathroom counter so I remember to put it on my arms and hands.
Do you put it on your face as well?
I still use the Biore Japanese sunscreen on my face.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Which you cannot get at Sephora's. So I bought two of those. I also decided that I was going to do a little experiment with micellar water.
Controversial.
So what I did was I bought three different ones. One by Caudalie, one by Tarte, and one by Primera, which I learned is owned by Amore Pacific.
Intriguing.
Mm-hmm. It's like their, you know, cheaper, clean brand.
Oh, interesting. So you're having, it's like America's Test Kitchen, but Dory's Test Kitchen.
For Dory's Test Bathroom.
Test Bathroom.
For micellar water.
Micellar water. Mm-hmm. What made you decide to go deep on micellar water?
Well, I was out of my micellar water, which I didn't, you know, all micellar waters are not created equal.
No, I have a very deep preference for the Bioderma.
I know, which they don't sell at Sephora.
No.
And I had been sort of dabbling. I have a travel size of the Bioderma that I do really like. I've also really liked Simple. I've tried, the most recent one I tried was La Roche-Posay. Mm-hmm. I didn't love it. I didn't love the scent. I've also tried Boots number seven micellar water, which was fine. And I just thought, you know what? Let's mix it up. So I bought these three. Last night I used the Primera. I liked it. It's a chamomile micellar cleansing water.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah, it did feel really nice. So I'll report back on all of those. The other thing that I was out of was a day cream. And I like to use like a lightweight gel moisturizer. I had been using the Tarte Water Gel Essence moisturizer. And when I went, I was like, I like this. Yes.
Tarte Water Gel Essence?
Sorry. Tatcha.
Ugh. There we go.
Tatcha Water Gel Essence, which I liked. I mean, I liked it enough. I think I recommended it in a newsletter. But I was like, you know, all things being equal, I do think I like the Biossance Squalane and Probiotic Gel Moisturizer just a little better. And then you know what? When I went onto Sephora, the Tatcha was not being sold anymore.
Mysterious.
Which is odd. So I bought another thing of the Biossance. And then I thought, you know what? Let me try this other one by Origins called Jin Zing Oil-Free Energy Boosting Gel Moisturizer, which also comes in a mini version, which I like because I could just sort of try it out.
And you got the mini.
I got the mini. I tried that this morning. It smells kind of orangey. It's a little thicker than I was expecting, but a nice consistency, a nice texture, very smooth. So I like it so far. I mean, I've used it one day, so we'll see. And then I got another one of my Bare Minerals Primetime Eyelid Primer, which is my fave.
That's an old hat.
But
for
what's
you.
So funny is I realize I always stock up on it during the sales. And I don't wear as much makeup as I used to. So I went into the drawer that I keep like all my extra stuff, like my stockpiles, and I already had two.
Oh my gosh.
In there. So I now have three. So I need to like remind myself that next time the sale comes around, I don't need to buy eyelid primer.
Or you could return this one if you so interesting. Choose.
Dang, I had not thought
it's
of that.
It's not going to be open. You can bring it right
back. Right. I might do that.
Okay.
And then I stocked up on the Caudalie Hand and Nail Cream, which is another fave. I like to keep like one next to my bed, one in my bathroom, one in my bag. Just have hand cream everywhere.
Sure.
And then I also got the Fenty Gloss Bomb Universal Lip Luminizer in Fussy.
That is a great color.
Which I had gifted to you at one point.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. And I got the... This is out of left field. I don't think you're going to be expecting this.
I'm literally holding onto the table.
I got the It Cosmetics Bye Bye Under Eye Concealer.
What was going on when this purchase was made? You were just throwing caution to the wind.
I sure was. So, as listeners may recall, I had attempted to buy this before and bought the wrong shade.
That's right. Okay.
And kept forgetting to return it. And then I was like, I don't know if I like the consistency. This is not for me. And then I bought some Laura Mercier that I really liked. And then I was like, maybe I'll buy this again. But I was like, you know what? Let me give It Cosmetics another try. So here we are. And I bought the light beige color, which I think is more appropriate for me. So I'm excited for that. And then the final thing I bought was cocoa floss.
Oh, mm-hmm. Flossing's become a hot topic on Forever 35. Hot topic.
Now, I used it last night.
So you've already received these products? Oh, that's right. Because you said you tried the micellar water. Oh,
yes.
You used the cocoa floss?
Yes.
Okay, I'm ready for my mind to be blown. And?
I liked it. It got, like, my bottom front teeth are a little crooked.
Uh-huh.
And it got kind of caught in one of my teeth.
Okay, this happened to me last night, too, but not with cocoa floss.
And I feel like it, like, hit a nerve or something. Like, it kind of hurt. And I was like, huh, okay, I'm going to give this another shot. But I don't know what I was expecting. I mean, it's floss.
I know. The way it's been positioned.
The way
you think
it's been
positioned,
like, I mean.
Gliding through your teeth.
Yes. Yeah. I'm still going to use it, but jury's still out.
Okay. So we had a dental hygienist who actually emailed us and said a line that is now resonating with me, which is the best floss for you to use is whatever floss you're already using. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, they're right. It's not the floss. It's the act of flossing.
Totally. Oh, wait. And I just need to mention one more thing that I got with my points.
Go on.
Which is a silk pillowcase that Sephora was offering for 750 points.
What a score.
And since I hoard my points, I was able to get it. Now, I received this pillowcase. It is not real silk.
Oh.
And it doesn't have a materials tag.
Ew.
Which is weird. So I don't know how to wash it either. I guess I'll just hand wash it. But yeah, I'm very doubtful that it is actually silk. But it is very smooth and silky.
Okay. I saw a friend yesterday and we were chatting a lot about skincare. And she was like, like a silk pillowcase. And I was like, no, I've never tried it. And she was like, what? And she said, not only for your hair does she like it, but also for your products, like your face products. Because a standard cotton or linen pillowcase, the products just soak into the pillowcase,
yeah,
which I didn't even think about.
I could
about.
See that.
So now I really.
So anyway, so that's what I got. And I'm excited to report back.
No, keep testing it up. Keep mixing it up in your bathroom. Yeah, of course.
Yes. What about you? What did you get?
So as mentioned, I hopped in at the last minute.
You sure did. You got in under the wire.
Honestly, you mentioning to me that you bought stuff, I was like, I got to do it.
Oh no, I was a bad influence.
Kind of were, because then I went for it. I too bought cocoa floss, mm-hmm, because so many listeners had emailed about cocoa floss that I just, you know, I had to do it. I also bought the Super Goop Unseen Sunscreen. Now,
have you used it before?
No, I'm doing my own sunscreen experiment.
Ooh!
Because in the last Sephora sale, I bought Kula Full Spectrum 360 Sun Silk Drops, which are what I'm using on my face, and I love them. So I bought another jar container, and now I'm stumped. It's not a tube. It's actually a little glass bottle with a dropper.
Ooh!
And I really, really like this sunscreen for my face, but then hearing you mention the Super Goop, I figured I'll do my own experiment and give it a try. Then I bought, I'm trying again, a product that broke on me.
Ooh.
I bought a small Caudalie grape water spray, like a mister for your face, mm-hmm. in the last sale. And the pressure, like the little thing that you push, stopped working for me. And the bottle was not empty. And I was very annoyed.
No.
But I really liked the product. So I'm going to try it again.
Mm-hmm.
Then I stocked up on my like product, my baby, mm-hmm. which is the Caudalie Beauty Elixir.
Mm-hmm.
And I buy the mini bottles because mm-hmm. I use it on planes.
Mm-hmm.
It is my favorite thing ever to travel with.
It's the best.
It's the best. And I will tell you something very exciting is that I was watching, you know, last night at 10 o'clock, as one does, a Kourtney Kardashian natural makeup tutorial on YouTube.
Oh, sure.
Because I got to know how Kourt does her makeup when she's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it was so much. It was so much. She contoured. She still contoured.
Wow.
This is a
tangent. That's dedication.
She looked great. But she spritzed that Caudalie Beauty Elixir all over her face. And I was like, well look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
Kourtney, you're one of us.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have some extra I can give you.
Oh, I will take it all. Okay. I spray it on my face. I spray it on my kids.
Ooh.
It just, it's not only does it feel nice to mist while you're traveling, the smell is so refreshing.
I agree.
That it like just gives me a little something.
A little zhuzh?
You know?
Is that the word you were looking for, Kate? A little zhuzh?
Oh, boy.
You walked right into that.
I did. I opened the door and there you were.
Zhuzhing away.
Yeah. Your little sign says zhuzh. So here is another thing I bought, which I've never purchased before. Kate Somerville's Exfolicate.
Oh, people love that.
Yeah, it's kind of a legend
mm-hmm.
in the exfoliating world.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought a tiny bottle
mm-hmm.
just to give it a test run. I was looking at different exfoliants. Some I had tried, some I hadn't. There were a couple that I almost, there was a Caudalie one that I almost got. And then I was like, you know what? Everybody says Exfolicate.
Yeah.
And my name
and
is Kate.
And who are you to reject that?
No, it's a perfect pun. Mm-hmm. So I grabbed that. I also got the silk pillow with my points mm-hmm. because you did.
Oh,
I'm a sheep. And then I also got a little that Hydra serum or from a Drunk Elephant with my points.
Oh,
Hydra something. I forget what. I've never tried Hydra gel. Cool. I can't use it for the next 27 days because I'm in my Augustinus
Botter
journey. So those were my purchases. You know, it was kind of, I looked at makeup and then I was like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
You know, let's just go with some mist and some sunscreen, which is kind of like my two favorite things to do.
Totally.
Water my face down and then protect it from the rays of the sun.
Yes.
So there you have it. We'll report back.
Oh, we sure will.
Especially about that Exfolicate.
And the botter.
Well, the botter, yes. I mean, I am, this is going to be a running theme for the
next 27 days.
27 days of Forever 35 takes us right into the fall with my creamy skin.
And you're going out of town this weekend.
I am, Dory. This will come up in my attention. I'm going to Denver, Colorado to see my favorite band, Phish.
Mm.
And, you know, the elevation's high. The air is dry. Got to bring my cream.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'll be traveling with it for the first time ever.
This is exciting.
It's very exciting. If you also happen to be a Phish fan attending, well, this will, you know what, you'll hear this after.
Yeah. Maybe someone will be there and they'll see you.
I hope there's a Forever 35 listener at this Phish show. Yeah, that will be just too. A combining of my two favorite worlds.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll be there. We'll talk more about that in my intention, which I can't wait for you to see.
Oh, I can't wait. So let's take a quick break. And then when we come back, we have an interview with Dr. Joy Bradford of Therapy for Black Girls. And I really enjoyed this conversation.
She was such a blast
such a
to talk to.
Joy.
Dory, wow, you are just.
Yep. Here we go. Okay. Be back soon.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college when I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress?
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh. Sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With Honey Love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they managed to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there. The overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode. Our guest today is Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, who is the host of the very popular podcast Therapy for Black Girls. Dr. Joy, we are so glad to have you on Forever 35 today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Let me give your bio a little read here so that our listeners can get to know you as well. Dr. Joy is a licensed psychologist, speaker, and the host of the wildly popular mental health podcast, Therapy for Black Girls. She received her bachelor's degree in psychology from Xavier University of Louisiana, her master's degree in vocational rehabilitation counseling from Arkansas State, and her PhD in counseling psychology from the University of Georgia. Her work focuses on making mental health topics more relevant and accessible for Black women, and she specializes in creating spaces for Black women to have fuller and healthier relationships with themselves and others. And she has been featured in O, the Oprah Magazine, Bustle, Huffington Post, Black Enterprise, and Women's Health, among others. And Dr. Joy lives in Atlanta with her husband and her two sons. And we are so glad you're on Forever 35 today.
Me too. Very excited to chat with you.
We can't wait to talk all about your self-care practices, podcasting. But I guess we want to kind of first start with therapy. What made you want to become a therapist? And what is your own history with therapy?
Yeah, so I often talk about, you know, my mother would call it being nosy, but I call it being very curious about human behavior. You know, so I have always kind of been just really interested in why we make the kinds of decisions and choices that we make as humans. And so I took a psychology class in high school and fell in love with it immediately and knew that it was my thing. But I did not have any experience with like therapy or mental health as a young person. So it wasn't really until I took psychology and begin to understand what that was that I knew I wanted to pursue it. But it wasn't something that was talked about like in my household. I didn't know anybody in therapy. I don't even know if there were any therapists really in like my community. I'm from a very small town. And so my real introduction to like mental health and therapy wasn't until I took that class in high school.
And what was your family's reaction when you decided to become a therapist?
Well, they just were like, how long are you going to have to be in school for that? So that was probably the immediate reaction. But also kind of understanding, you know, that I really wanted to help people who were in distress or to kind of make, you know, different kinds of decisions in their lives. And so I didn't really get any pushback from it, though it has kind of come in helpful to, you know, now kind of being on the other side, recognizing, you know, mental health kinds of concerns that did exist in my family that I didn't even know about. So it has come in handy to be able to deal with some of those situations as well.
And, you know, I know a lot of what you focus on, as we said in your bio, is kind of creating these spaces for Black women to have fuller and healthier relationships with themselves and others. And I'm wondering, why do you think Black women especially need to hear the message that it's okay to seek therapy?
Well, I think like we talked about, you know, just a second ago, like it wasn't something that was really talked about in my house. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of other Black women and Black people in general, it's really just not something that's talked about. I mean, I think we're changing that now. But, you know, for my generation and older generations, it really just wasn't something that was talked about. And so I think it's really important for people to understand what's going on with them and what may be going on with other people in their families and in their communities. And I also think Black women typically do a lot of work in terms of taking care of other people. Mm. So we are kind of the cornerstone of the church and we're the one who's reliable in the family and all of these things. And so we do a really good job of taking care of other people, but don't always pay attention to what kind of care we need to take care of for ourselves.
That's a great point. And I'm curious, is it possible to encourage people to seek therapy? Oftentimes we either have conversations with friends or we get listeners who reach out and are like, I know this person needs to be in therapy, or I wish they would seek therapy. But it's kind of the thing that one has to come to on their own. So I'm wondering how, as a friend or a caregiver, how you think people can provide support for someone who may be hesitant to seek therapy or maybe kind of open to it or curious about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is where I think podcasting has really done an amazing job, because I think, you know, there are so many mental health podcasts now that kind of give you a glimpse of like what work talking with a therapist might be like. So I think even introducing people to different kind of podcast episodes, maybe related to what they're struggling with, may give them a good introduction. I think also if you can do some of the research ahead of time for people, that really kind of cuts down on the stress of like just finding a therapist and how do I even know who this person is and what am I talking with them about? So I think the only thing that you can really do is to do as much as you can in terms of offering resources and maybe even offer to go with them to their first appointment. But unfortunately, we can't, of course, make anybody do anything that they don't want to do.
That's what I did with my husband.
You did?
I didn't go with him to his first appointment, but I knew he was interested in therapy, but the logistics of it, I could tell, seemed very overwhelming to him. So I found a therapist that took his insurance, that was like a block from our house. And I was like, here you go. And he was like, oh, okay. And he's gone to him for 3 years.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Especially, you know, when people are in distress, things like that can be very overwhelming, you know, like totally. Just the idea of figuring out the logistics and insurance and all of that. So the more legwork that you can do as a support person, it really does increase the chances that they may go.
You have great resources on your website for how to help people find a therapist. I mean, you have a whole directory of therapists. I'm wondering, can you kind of walk us through very practical steps for people to take to find a therapist? Because often that feels like the most daunting thing. And I know, you know, it's as easy as Googling, but it's also as hard as Googling. If that makes sense.
Exactly. I mean, because, you know, Google gives us all of the results, right? So it can be really difficult to kind of work through what do all of those letters mean behind our names? Like, well, who do I need to see? Do I need medication? You know, so it can be a very daunting process. So I think you want to start with thinking about what kinds of concerns are you wanting to talk with a therapist about? So generally, we are kind of trained as generalists as therapists, but we do continue to get different kinds of specializations and certifications and different kinds of things. So I think it's first important to find a therapist who has expertise and specializes in the thing that you're wanting to talk with a therapist about. Then I think you want to consider finances. So are you wanting to use insurance? How much can you afford to pay out of pocket? What kinds of are you going to use your employee's EAP program? So there are lots of different ways that you can pay for therapy. And so I think that is also something that you do want to consider, because some therapists are a part of some insurance network, some are not a part of any. You know, so there are lots of different things to consider just in terms of the finances of therapy. And then, as you talked about, Dory, thinking about location. So, you know, typically your sessions are 45 minutes to an hour. You typically meet with the therapist once a week or so. And so thinking about logistically, like, how can you get there? If it's going to be in the middle of your workday, are you going to go after work? Are you going to need to find somebody on the weekends? Are you open to virtual sessions? So there are a lot of different kinds of things that you would want to consider. And it is a really good idea. You know, like you mentioned, I have the directory on the website to kind of just look through different profiles of people to see who really speaks to you. Does it sound like they can help you with your concerns? Do they have hours that are convenient to you? Do they accept your insurance plan? So I think thinking about some of those things on the front end can really help you to narrow down your search.
And I feel like we get this question a lot, which is, how do I know if a therapist is right for me? You know, people who have maybe met with a therapist one, two, maybe three times, and maybe they've never been to therapy before, so they don't know what to expect, and they can't tell if the therapist is right for them. Do you have any advice on that front?
Yeah, that is really important. I often tell people, you know, when you go to like a primary care doctor, we don't typically go to them that often, right? And so it's like, okay, if their bedside manner is a little off, it's okay. I got the medicine I needed and, you know, I can move on. But it really is important for you to feel like you have a good relationship with your therapist, because that is kind of the centerpiece where all of the work comes from. So you want to feel like you have a good alliance with this person. You want to feel like you actually like the person, that they actually like you, that, you know, you feel comfortable talking about whatever you're struggling with this person. So it can take a couple of sessions. And I know people feel very frustrated about that sometimes, because you sometimes do have to do some therapist shopping, because it's like trying on different pairs of shoes, right? You may wear it 8.5, but a different designer, it's a different cut. And so you may have to try on a couple of different pairs of shoes to find the ones that are right for you. And that's the same thing with a therapist. So I do think you want to try to give it 3 to 6 sessions, just to kind of see if you're comfortable, you know, so you can kind of build on other things if you feel comfortable in the space. But if you go to the sessions, you know, 3 or 4 times and you're like, I just don't feel like I can really open up to this person, I don't really feel like they get me, then it may be time to look for someone else who may be a better fit.
Do you ever tell a potential patient that you don't think you can help them?
Yes, absolutely. And that's something I'm glad you brought that up, because typically what we will do as therapists is do a 10 to 15 minute free consultation with potential clients. And so that's your opportunity to ask any questions that you have, for you to tell us a little bit more about why you're coming into therapy, and, you know, just kind of get some general background information that maybe wasn't provided on our website. And so as a part of that, we as therapists are also listening to hear, do we really feel like we are the best person that can help you? And we're also using those first couple of sessions as an assessment to see if we really feel like this is going to be a good match for you. So just as much as you are trying to see if we are a good fit for you, we're also wanting to make sure that we think we're going to be the best match for you, so that you do get the results that you're looking for out of your therapy sessions.
So therapists know, I realize I sound like I'm talking about dating, but they know that we might be seeing a few therapists at once and are okay with that. I mean, for some reason, I always feel very nervous to admit that to therapists. Uh-huh. But I'm also a people pleaser, so.
Yeah, so we do typically know, especially in the beginning, and most of us will ask about that in your assessment. You know, like, have you seen someone else before? What was your experience like? You know, because again, it's a part of our job that we know that we are not going to be the best fit for everybody. And so there are no hard feelings if you decide somebody else is a better fit, or somebody has a different expertise set that is a better match for you. So no, we are not offended or put off by you kind of seeing a couple of different therapists. Now, you do want to be careful, especially if you're using insurance, because sometimes you can't see multiple people using the same kind of diagnostic code at the same time, or else insurance won't pay for it. So you may want to kind of think through that and maybe talk with your insurance about that before you kind of see like three different therapists in a week, because then you could end up with a bill that you didn't expect.
Nobody wants that.
No, right.
That's a good point. And do you have any tips to suggest to people who might be wanting to end a relationship with their therapist? This is something I'm asking because I have personally struggled with how to do this in a way that feels professional, if that makes mm-hmm. sense.
Yeah. So again, we do know that at some point it's very likely our time with you will end. You know, so if you're feeling like, okay, I've done all the work I feel like I can do with this person, or if you feel like I found someone else that may be a better fit, if there is no like tension, or, you know, the therapist has not been awful to you, or something, you know, just kind of out of the pocket has happened, I think it's a good idea to have a conversation with your therapist about the fact that you're wanting to move on. You know, so I personally think that goodbyes are really important, and we don't often have a lot of spaces in our lives where we are practicing healthy goodbyes. And so I think ending your relationship with your therapist is one of those opportunities to have a goodbye and to realize, you know, you can say goodbye to somebody and it doesn't have any hard feelings, or it doesn't mean that the world ends. It just means that you've made a decision that this ends now and you're moving on to something else. So I think if you can, to have a terminating conversation with the person and letting them know that you're moving on would be a really good idea.
Speaking of endings,
healthy goodbyes.
Healthy goodbyes. We do get a lot of questions about friendship breakups.
Oh.
And I'm wondering, how do you know when it's time to move on from a toxic friend? And if you are a friend who has been broken up with, how can you how is it possible for people to kind of come to terms with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we spend a lot of time talking about this kind of thing in the Therapy for Black Girls community. As a matter of fact, the entire month of July was dedicated to a summer of sisterhood, talking about like the relationships that we have with other women. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, I think people sometimes don't take friendships as seriously as they are. So most times if we are like in a romantic relationship and we're wanting to end it, we will typically have a conversation like, hey, this isn't working for me or whatever. But for some reason, we don't always do those same kinds of things with friendships. And I think that kind of speaks to like, we don't really understand like the value and how important and sacred friendships are in our lives. And yeah. So I think one of the ways, and I always use this as kind of like a litmus test in terms of a friendship, is when you see this person's name pop up in your text message or in your email inbox, what is your first reaction? Is it like, oh, let me see what she's talking about? Or is it, oh, here she is again, kind of thing?
Wow.
Right? Because I think sometimes we will feel something kind of internally before we even have language to put to it. And so I think checking in with yourself just about the reaction you have when you see this person's name pop up is a good sign for you that something may be going on with the friendship.
your episode, I think it's a pretty recent episode too, about making friends in adulthood, I thought was so such a crucial conversation, because I think you make the point that it's something we assume is just going to happen organically, and we actually do have to put effort and work into connecting with people and figuring out who we want to associate with and who we want to be with. And I just thought it was really, I learned so much from it.
Yeah. I think because, you know, when we are younger, we kind of make friends just because of who we're close to, right? Like in high school or in college or wherever. And then when you don't have those kinds of spaces, then you do have to be much more intentional about who you're spending time with.
It's hard to make friends as an adult.
Yeah. And everyone has, you know, commitments and responsibilities, and it's just, it's not a priority, but then you find that you miss the friendships.
Oh, right. All of a sudden you wake up and you're like, I've been doing this alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time, and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters. And then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs.
Oh.
Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Could we talk a little bit about mental wellness, which is something you focus on? You have a great quote that I believe is from an interview that you did, and I just want to read it for our audience. This is on your website. It says, a lot of times when we talk about mental illness or mental health, I think there's a lot missing from the conversation. I don't think we always do a great job focusing on mental wellness and realizing that we all have mental health we have to take care of. It doesn't always have to be about mental illness. And I think that's really important to recognize that every single one of us has mental wellness that needs to be addressed and mental health that needs to be addressed. How do you think people can kind of go about practicing self-care when it comes to their mental health?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lots of different ways, you know, and I think when we think about like physical health, right, like most of us are in the mindset of, okay, I need to get some physical activity. I need to pay attention to what I'm eating, that kind of thing. And those are the kinds of ways where you really optimize your physical health. But we don't always have the same framework for mental health. And so I think some of the things that you can pay attention to are your sleeping habits. So paying attention to kind of being up all night and then getting up early in the morning and not getting enough restful hours of sleep is really important. And of course, we're seeing all of the research that's coming out about, you know, our phones being really close to us at night, right, in the blue light and how that impacts our sleep. So really paying attention to those kinds of things that really go into us having restful hours of sleep at night. I also think it is really important to be paying attention to boundary setting. So that's something, you know, Kate, you already kind of mentioned, like this people pleasing thing. And I think as women, a lot of us have that, right? Like we just don't always do the best job of setting good boundaries. We kind of, you know, want to be pleasant to people. We want to be accommodating, but we don't always pay attention to how that comes at a cost to us. So really practicing some healthy boundary setting, I think, is important for mental health. Also the physical activity. So there's lots of research that talks about the impact that physical activity, even something as small as 30 minutes a day, has a real impact on our mood and can, you know, release all those endorphins and stuff that can improve our mood. So those are some of the things that I think when you're thinking about mental health are the things that you want to be paying attention to.
Boundary setting feels very hard and daunting. And it also seems like a thing we must learn how to do. It's not a skill that's just innate for many of us.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have kind of steps that either you've taken yourself or that you advise people to take to begin setting really healthy boundaries with people in their lives?
Yeah, so I think kind of similar to what we talked about with the friendship litmus test, I think paying attention to like what those relationships are in your life and how you feel around certain people, because I think when you notice that your energy is low, maybe there's some resentment developing, then that is a sign that you are not, maybe you don't have the best boundary set in these relationships. So looking at places where maybe you have not either stated what your boundaries are, or whether you need to do a better job of letting other people know what your boundaries are. But you may even need to back up and figure out like, okay, what are my boundaries? Like, do I even have any? Like, where do I feel the need to set these things up? So, you know, for somebody who recognizes that they are a people pleaser, maybe your first step is around saying no more, and very small no. So sometimes people who are people pleasers will have trouble doing even things like returning an entree in a restaurant if it was wrong, or bringing back an item that doesn't fit to a store. So they would just rather keep it as opposed to having to deal with the conversation with the person at the register of returning it. So looking at very small ways that you can kind of take steps that don't always feel very comfortable for you, so that you then begin practicing like, okay, I can do these uncomfortable things and the world doesn't fall apart, and kind of gradually building on that.
Dr. Joy, I wish you could see Kate's face right now.
I'm almost in tears because you're describing me in such a, I mean, and I know you're describing many people who feel this way, but whew, the returning an entree. Yes. I still can't do it. I'm a 40-year-old grown person and it's still very hard for me. Yeah. Whew.
Yeah.
But you're right. It doesn't fall apart. The world does not fall apart.
Right. Right. And it doesn't have to mean that you're bad or that the person was bad who took your order. It could just have been a misunderstanding, you know, but it is okay for you to say, this is what I want and I'm paying for it. And so you can be polite in asking for it to be returned, but still make sure that you get your needs met.
So let's talk about your podcast.
Yes.
How did this start? How did you come up with the idea? For those listeners who might not be familiar with it, can you kind of give them an overview of what it's about?
Yeah. So Therapy for Black Girls started as a blog. So I started blogging in 2014, but I wasn't very regular with it. I would just kind of, you know, update the blog whenever I kind of felt like it. But then when I was on maternity leave, or not maternity leave, when I went back to work after I had my first little one, I had an hour commute both ways. And so I started listening to a bunch of podcasts and just really fell in love with the medium, just really interesting conversations that I think you couldn't really find other places. spaces. And so I thought, oh, wouldn't this be a cool thing to add to Therapy for Black Girls? Like, I really feel like I can make the content come alive in a different way that doesn't really happen on the blog.
But you've also created such an incredible community, both with the podcast and it carries over onto Instagram and on your website. What has been kind of the reception, and what is the community like that you've really created there?
Yeah, so I really feel like the community is at the heart of everything that we do at Therapy for Black Girls, because the community really drives all of it. So I am in constant conversation with the community about what kinds of things they want to hear. I'm paying attention to what kinds of questions they're asking in our Facebook group and on Instagram. And so it drives what kind of content we make. It drives what kind of guests will come on the podcast to share different kinds of information. And so the reception has been really great, I think, because I am giving the community what they're asking for, what they are searching for, the kinds of questions they're wanting to get more information about. So I really feel like it has been a really reciprocal kind of process, and really value the community that surrounds the podcast and the directory and everything else.
What are some of your own personal self-care practices? And as a therapist, what do you think about self-care and its value on an individual level?
Yeah, I think especially as therapists is really important. You know, so in addition to the podcast, I also still have a small private practice. And so when you're thinking about holding space and creating space for other people, you have to make sure that you're doing your own work to be able to kind of continue to show up for your clients. So it really is important to me to make sure that I'm doing the kinds of things that are restorative to me so that I can continue to show up for other people. So I have my own therapist, which is really important. And I really think a lot of us, even in like grad school, people have talked to us about how important it is to know what that experience is like and to understand the vulnerability that is involved with somebody coming to your office. And the only way you can really do that is by having your own therapist. So my therapist is an incredibly important part of my self-care routine. I try to do a good job of getting to bed on time. I'm not always perfect at that, but I try to get, you know, enough restful hours of sleep so that I feel rejuvenated in the morning. On days when I feel really stretched, I hula hoop. So that was something that was really important to me in grad school when I was like trying to do that final push to do the dissertation. I just would pull out my hula hoop and hula hoop in the middle of the living room floor. So I still do that from time to time. Getting outside and doing things with my little people at the park, you know, so we expect, not right now because it's super hot in Georgia, but when it cools down, then we try to get outside as much as possible to, you know, really kind of make sure that we're spending time with nature as well.
Wait a second. We have to get back to this hula hooping thing. You're the first person to mention hula hooping on the podcast.
We have a first.
It's so cool. And is that something you grew up loving to do? Is it something one day you picked up as an adult and you're like, I remember hula hoop? What is your hula hooping journey?
Absolutely. So this is something that I have done since I was very small. So I am from a very big family. I probably have 30 first cousins, and we would spend a lot of time at my grandmother's house playing in the backyard. And a lot of that would be hula hooping. And now there are some new fancy hula hoops that have like water and all kinds of stuff. But I'm talking about the old school ones with the ball barrel in so that you can hear the noise. Mm-hmm. So it has really just been something that I have enjoyed since childhood that I think continues to sustain me.
How long is a hula hooping session?
It can be very short. Of course, I'm not as good as I was when I was younger.
Me neither.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes like 5 to 10 minutes, just enough to kind of, you know, wake myself up and kind of get my body moving.
Hula hooping, I would say, is a challenging cardiovascular activity because I do it with my kids and I can barely last like 3 rotations of the hoop. So 5 or 10 minutes, that's like a jumping rope 5 or 10 minutes.
Not necessarily continuous, like starting and stopping.
But what a fun, you know, we've talked a lot with listeners about like things they did in their childhood that they're revisiting. Plus it's physical. Like what a fun, cool self-care practice that incorporates, I don't know, so many meaningful things.
Yeah. And I often tell clients that too. And just kind of as a part of the community, I do really think it's important for us to always be playing, right? Like, so some of those things that we enjoyed as children, how can you reintroduce that to your life now and kind of reconnect to that childhood playful part of you that a lot of us kind of abandon once, you know, work comes in and responsibilities and all of those things.
Boy, this has been such a treat to get to talk to you. Thank you. We're so thrilled you're on the podcast, and thank you so much for taking the time, Dr. Joy. Can we give our listeners, or rather, can you please give our listeners a rundown of all the places they can find you, listen to you, chat with you, connect with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So the website is therapyforblackgirls.com. And like you mentioned, the podcast is housed there. We also have a therapist directory of over 1,500 therapists who love doing great clinical work with Black women and girls. You can find our blog post there. We're at Therapy for Black Girls across social media, except for Twitter. So on Twitter, we are Therapy for the number 4 B Girls. And then you can connect with me personally at HelloDrJoy.com. And then my social media handle is Hello Dr. Joy across all social media platforms.
And what is the hashtag that you use for conversations on social media? I can't remember it off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
So for the podcast, we use TBG in session.
That's it. Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. Well, Dr. Joy, thank you again so, so much.
Yeah, this was such a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yep. Take care.
So, you really talked up your intention for this week, Kate.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, you did.
And are you excited now that you've laid eyes on it on the page?
I am.
Do you want to?
No, I think you should.
Oh, you think I should?
Yeah,
okay,
I think
great.
You should.
Dory, my intention for this week is to dance like no one's watching.
That's beautiful.
Because one, I'm going to see Phish.
Yep.
My number one favorite band. Yep. And I dance my heart out at Phish shows.
Yes.
Again, if you see me there, don't be shocked. There's a lot of movement. But then also, you know, I had fun like playing music and just dancing by myself out here in my...
Dancing on your own?
Yes, I was. Yes. Thank you, Robin. I was dancing on my own here in my garage office where we are currently recording this podcast. Uh-huh. And it was just a really nice release per past guest Elizabeth Gilbert's
yes.
suggestion. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna really dance next week. Mm. I'm going to dance at Phish, but then I would love to find one more time to dance... just as like a self-care practice.
Nice.
Like no one's watching.
Nice. Wait, how did last week's intention go?
It's been fun. I've just been like, you know, poking around with different ways of moving my body.
Because you were going to do intuitive exercising.
I'm playing around with it.
Okay.
I still, you know, this kind of stuff is hard because I have the intention, but it's also hard for me to release years of thinking
yes.
And layers of, you know, I don't want to say brainwashing, but it's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
So I have been just playing around with different physical exercise, seeing what feels good, especially considering like my aches and pains and the spots where I'm tight. I've been foam rolling a little bit more, which has been really nice. Been doing my own kind of yoga stretching. I took another LEK Fit class.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it again. I ran into a friend, like a woman that I hadn't seen in like 3 years, a mutual friend of a friend. That was,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it was kind of like, oh, this is, I don't know, felt
yeah,
nice.
Good.
Again, I can't do a single move on the trampoline. This is a trampoline class. Don't watch me there because, boy, it is awkward. But it's fun
that
and nobody cares.
Fine.
No, it's actually a pretty judgment-free space,
that's
which
awesome.
Was really nice. So there I am. How about you? Have you... been cooking this week? I know your intention
I have,
was
yeah,
to...
I have been cooking more. I signed up again for HelloFresh.
Oh, which you are a huge fan
which I'm a fan of. Like, legitimately a fan of. This is hashtag not an ad. Because they have vegetarian meals.
Mm-hmm.
So I made a couple of their vegetarian meals this week, which is good. Got some lunches and dinners out of those.
I love getting... to having that double
totally.
Meal situation with one of those meal boxes.
And then, you know, I'm trying also, like, even when I haven't gone grocery shopping, to be like, okay, what is in my fridge? Even if it's just like making eggs.
Shopping your kitchen.
Yeah. Shopping my kitchen.
Or your pantry.
Shopping my fridge. And trying, you know, also trying to like reduce food waste. And yeah. So, you know, I feel like I've been doing all right.
You know who's very good at doing that and shares it on Instagram?
Who?
Jasmine Guillory.
Oh, yeah, she is.
She's always making like really yummy
totally.
Food concoctions
yes.
for dinner and sharing them. And a lot of times she's just working with what she has in her kitchen and
yeah.
it always looks amazing.
Yeah.
Very aspirational.
Totally aspirational. So, you know, I think I still have a ways to go, but I feel like I'm on a good path.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What is on the schedule for this week?
Well, Kate, I too am traveling this weekend, this Labor Day weekend.
Where are you headed, Dory?
I'm going to beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada.
Maybe you'll see Forever 35 listeners there.
It is quite possible.
That would be cool.
We are taking Henry.
That he loves to gamble.
He loves to gamble. Henry has been sick this week.
Oh, poor baby.
He's had a cold, and we actually went to, he had his 4-month checkup today anyway. And we were like, this cold, like we've been kind of watching, he hasn't had a fever. They had said if he gets a fever, you should bring him in, you know, separate from his appointment. And she was like, yeah, you know, he's this, you're kind of in the worst of it now. But I was supposed to be going to like a baby get together tomorrow. And she was like, don't go, like he's still contagious. And I was like, can we go to Vegas? And she's like, yeah, that's fine. Like he just shouldn't be around like other babies.
Right. Other adults.
Other adults, who cares?
Buffets.
Yeah, exactly.
He's in it.
So yeah, so this is the first time we've traveled with him. We're driving.
Okay.
You know, this is a real, this is going to be real interesting.
It's a new journey.
It's a new, literally a new journey. Yeah, I have no idea how he's going to do. We made a list of what we need to pack. Matt wants to bring like everything he owns. And I'm like, this seems insane.
Like everything Matt owns or everything
Henry owns. Like we should bring his play mat. We should bring his bathtub. We should bring like everything. And I'm like, so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I can't wait to hear
about
how it goes.
So anyway, that is my intention, is to just kind of try and be just like roll with it this weekend.
That's been an intention for you before.
Yes.
And I like,
especially
I really,
travel related.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I really like that you see that in yourself, like see where it could go.
I see the potential for like real neuroticism.
Yeah.
And I'm like, let's just dial it back. Just try to enjoy it. We're going to go as a family.
Yeah. You're meeting friends there?
We're meeting friends there. I'm getting actually to go to REI after this and pick up an infant life jacket for Henry for the pool.
Dory. Great. I would expect nothing less from you.
That's my neuroticism.
Yep. Master of safe sleep.
Master of safe pools.
Safe pool.
But yeah, he's never been in a pool before.
He is ready.
So I have a full body bathing suit for him.
Those are my favorite baby bathing suits. When it's like toe to head.
Yes, that I got on Poshmark.
Oh, look at you.
Another fave. So yeah, I'm ready. I'm excited.
Well, we will regroup next week to discuss therapy, discuss our vacations.
Discuss infant life jackets.
We'll talk about it all. Discuss my skin.
Your skin.
What if I don't even recognize me when I walk into our recording next week?
Could Who knows? Happen. Anything could happen. Okay, well, I think that brings us to the end.
If you're going to fish or Las Vegas, or
if you see us there, I hope you say something.
Please do. Please approach us. We love meeting listeners of the pod, IRL. We also love hearing from you on our voicemail, 781-591-0390, and via email at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
And you can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/forever35podcast. And the password there is serums.
And if you like the show, we love your reviews on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate them. You can tell a friend. You can mention us on social media. We have so much gratitude for all of that stuff.
We really do. And a reminder that all the products we mention are always on our website, forever35podcast.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast and on Twitter at forever35pod.
And Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dory Shafrir and Kate Spencer, and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. And Lane Hammer is our assistant.
Bye.
Bye.